Hi, everybody. I'm happy to say our nice weather pattern will continue for the next several days. For today, cool sunshine, but another mostly sunny day, a high temperature in the middle 60s. Tonight, mostly clear, chilly. We'll go down to 38 by first thing on Wednesday morning. Actually, tomorrow is the first day of spring. Sunshine warmer, high 67. Spring officially starting, 4:58 p.m., the vernal equinox. And how about a full moon on Wednesday night, too? Thursday, high temperature, maybe close to 70. I think we'll be in the low 70s Friday and the mid-70s Saturday, a nearly perfect pattern. Meanwhile, though, the pollen count still in the high range right on through the end of the week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
ASC Credit Union, offering 90-day no-pay auto loans. Buy that ride today and pay nothing for 90 days. Offer expires March 31st, 2019. Other terms and conditions may apply, subject to change without notice. Contact a representative for further details. Equal opportunity lender. ASC Credit Union, your life, your goals, your credit union.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. The mother of Montgomery County Commissioner Doug Singleton was hit by a stray bullet Sunday near Carter Hill Road. She was taken to the hospital and is expected to be okay. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office is investigating. No arrests after a deadly shooting Monday afternoon in Montgomery. Police say 28-year-old Warwick Ruggs was shot in the 900 block of Taylor Street around 1 o'clock Monday afternoon. He was taken to the hospital where he later died. And LEED Academy will open August 19th. School leaders say the school building off of Eastern Boulevard will undergo major renovations. They also need to fill close to 20 teacher and administrator positions. LEED Academy will start as a K-5 school, then add a grade each year. Registration is now open. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Live local talk. The River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Devastating flooding in parts of the Midwest.
Some communities remain cut off.
The bitter feud between President Trump and the family of John McCain is back in the spotlight.
Your life is spent on your weekends, not with your family, not with your friends, but obsessing. Yeah. Obsessing over great men you could never live up to.
Nashville police are asking for the public's help to find an ATV driver caught on camera dragging a police sergeant down the street.
The American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association are no longer recommending a low-dose aspirin a day for those 70 and older who have no prior history of heart attack or stroke.
Anthony Camello in a New Jersey courtroom with the words MAGA forever scribbled on his palm. Camello is accused of murdering reputed Gambino family crime boss Francesco Frankie Boy Calli.
A massive chemical tank fire continues to burn southeast of Houston.
Beto O'Rourke, news that he raised more than $6 million in his first 24 hours of his campaign, more than any other candidate.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday. First time caller, since you let Joey, the producer, know, we'll get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. $50 gift card from Fresh Market. That grass-fed ribeye steak, I think this is the last day it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be on tomorrow.
All right.
I think the bone-in ribeye steak is going to be on tomorrow. It's either going to be tomorrow or it's going to be a week from tomorrow. And we, you know, both of us have tried that, and it is excellent. That grass-fed is really something. I love it. Matter of fact, I noticed I have a little bit left in there, so I'm going to chow down on that bad boy. You know what I do now is I go into Fresh Market. I go to their salad bar. I used to go buy a bag of lettuce, $3.50. I go to their salad bar and get their lettuce, and then I get some things to put on top of it, and it's only like $1.20.
Oh, wow.
I know. One time I went in and got it and didn't add to, I just got some almonds and some other stuff, didn't add the cottage cheese and thing. It was 69 cents. I was embarrassed to pay 69 cents on my credit card. But I did.
It's almost like stealing.
I know. I mean, it really is. It's a great way of doing it. I make my own dressing, so it's, and I have, have you tried some of their cheeses at Fresh Market?
Oh, yeah.
They have an Illumi cheese that is outstanding. They have some Wisconsin and New York cheddar that is really good. It's got a little pop to it. So, let's continue on here, my friend. Let's continue on.
All right. Let me ask you all three a very important parting question. Congressman Meadows, you have seen more than any of us here, and I know probably some you can't discuss. But let's talk about the volume of what is to come. We know about we haven't seen the FISA applications, 302s, Gang of Eight. That's all coming. And the interviews. More than that, too?
Well, there is more than that. So it's not just some of the transcribed interviews that you're talking about, Sean, but it is additional information that is coming out that will show not only was there no collusion, but there was a coordinated effort to take this president down. We talk about the deep state. There are players now, even ambassadors that are sitting ambassadors that were involved in part of this with the FBI and DOJ. And so as we look at this, it's time that we show the American people what's out there, declassify some of those documents. I think when the American people see what I've seen, they will judge for themselves and know that this has all been a hoax.
What more do you expect to come? I only have about 30 seconds each, Sarah and Greg.
Well, I think Christopher Steele's deposition in Florida, which should be released any day now, will be very revealing. I think we'll find out that he essentially admits it was all made up. It was a hoax. Wow. And the FBI knew it. They didn't care. They used it as a pretext to destroy Trump.
Sarah, you've identified, along with John, five buckets.
Oh, yeah. So not only will those five buckets be extraordinarily important, Sean, but once they dig in deep into all of this, and I'm talking about the DOJ and this investigation continues, I think they'll be discovering so much more malfeasance within the FBI and DOJ that went far beyond even Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and the 2016 election. Remember, a lot of other things are going to be unearthed because of this, and this is what they were so afraid of.
Now, remember, the Mueller investigation is what's stopping all this thing. Sarah Carter and John Solomon have said months ago, the IG report and all these other things. But I think the IG report was stopped because of the Mueller report, and I think it's sitting there. I actually think that Barr may actually have the Mueller report in his hand as we speak.
Mm.
Just the tone. I'm looking for tone out here, and I've noticed we haven't heard anything from Mueller. Nothing's there. Rosenstein is supposed to be Lee, who's supposed to have left yesterday.
Yeah, I just saw a report on Fox News. He's staying at the department a little bit longer.
Yeah. So that means, yeah, he's going to be staying a little bit longer because he's going to see the report come out and make sure that all the questions that I think involve him are going to be answered. And I think there will be a lot of questions that people will have. But then I think you'll have a series of events that will start falling. Because when Sarah Carter or John Solomon, and Mark Meadows has seen the FISA warrants, I mean, he knows what's actually in there. And he's kind of like, and this needs to be released. Mueller said you can't release that because he would consider that an obstruction of justice. Not sure why. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. But I think those are the series of events that are going to happen that are going to start getting this thing running down the road. And Fox is the only person, only group that's been talking about this. Everybody else, there's zero about it. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. Let's go to Flower Child. Flower Child, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. How are you today?
I'm well, and y'all?
Very good.
the new thing that's going to have come out about Christopher Steele, and it was in the Washington Examiner, is that he went to CNN's website, and they have something called iReport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just other people. It's not reporter information. It's just people that contribute articles.
Right.
And he used that as part of his Russian narrative for Spygate. And he got this article from 2009. So the whole Russian hoax thing was based on nothing. And I'm mad as a taxpayer that we spent $20 million in how many years?
We spent more than $20 million. You're in the 30s
I
now.
Know. Uh-huh. And what it was Hillary Clinton and Hussein's setup, and they ought to be charged for campaign donations for us taxpayers, and they ought to pay us back for having to investigate this stupid fake law, you know, story.
I think because they so mishandled the Hillary Clinton email thing, and I think that once the IG gets back into this, because he wasn't around when he said there wasn't any untoward political advice or advantage given to the Clinton campaign, I think once you get the Lisa Page testimony, the Orr testimony, the Jim Baker testimony, and you now look at that, I think they're going to go back in time somewhere in the future. They have to do the FISA warrant first. They have to do the Inspector General's report first. But I think the next piece of that is going to be the Hillary Clinton email investigation and the mishandling of it.
Oh, yes. I mean, we already know she got hacked by the Chinese. I want to go back in time just a little bit. Do you remember months and months ago I called in about Mary Jacoby? I want to tell a little bit more about her to you. She and Glenn Simpson used to be reporters at the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2007, they wrote an article about wowing, how lobbyists were wowing Russians or Ukrainians or whatever. So
wowing or wooing?
Wooing.
Thank you.
Wooing.
I'm wowing, you're wooing.
They were wooing Russian people back then, so they already had their narrative back in 2007. And according to the things that I've researched, and I'm sure you've got access to the White House logs, but in April of 2016, Mary Jacoby, who is now the wife of Glenn Simpson, GPS, no longer a Wall Street Journal, went to the White House and met with six people. And what you want to bet that they... This is just a rerun of their story that they told in 2007. And the minute Paul Manafort stepped on President Trump's, before he was president, while he was a campaign, they already had their narrative written.
Yeah, I think the whole concept, everything was based upon the Russian connection. And when you look at it, that kind of surfaced a long time ago. It was false, but they just kept following that narrative. The interesting part is everything they're accusing Trump of doing, actually the Clinton campaign did.
Oh, yeah, and 10 times over, and we paid for it, you know, as taxpayers. And as far as the liberal media goes and everything, you need to do the Alan Dershowitz test, and you put the shoe on the other foot. And how would the liberals feel if 80% of the news was coming out for pro-conservatives versus pro-liberal. And every one of those people that supposedly built, like, Twitter and Facebook and Amazon, I mean, Washington Post, they're all leftists. And so that's all they do is put out. And I don't know what the difference between that is and state media.
Yeah, well, when they're privately owned, it would be one of them. But they certainly have an agenda, and I clearly see that in the New York Times, and clearly see it in the Washington Post. I see it every single night on ABC, NBC, CBS, which is why I bring the stories to you guys, because there is a built-in narrative that they are always running. They're not talking about Nunes. They did do the Twitter thing, but they don't talk about things like Lisa Page and her testimony. That has not been mentioned one single time. Bruce Orr, the Christopher Steele deposition. They're not even mentioning that stuff. And Greg Jerry was wrong. It actually has already come out of the Steele deposition. I've read part of it. It's kind of hard to track along with it. But they do not mention anything. Why? Because it would be bad for business for Democrats.
Mm-hmm. And they also say that it didn't start until like July of 2016, the end of July, like the 31st. Well, why did the FBI agent stationed in Rome go and meet Christopher Steele on July 5th? I mean, there's just so many lies out there. I'm just disgusted with. I just hope.
You hope we get to the bottom of it, don't you?
I want them to clean house and take names, and I want consequences instead of just. I want her to be wearing orange, and I want somebody else to be wearing black and white.
Well, and what's. One thing I think for you, for us to have our confidence back in our Department of Justice, this we've got to get to the bottom of this. Otherwise, I think there are a whole bunch of people like you and me that are just not going to believe them any longer.
And they need to dismantle the CIA right now. Sorry, that's my spiel.
Okay. Flower Child, thanks for the telephone call, my dear.
Bye.
Bye. Newstone 93.1. Dan Moore Show, we'll be back. Right after this.
You always said that I'd be back again. That I'd come running to you in the end. I thought that you were on your own. And now I find you're not alone.
Dan Morris Show.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on Newstalk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
We know that local business drives the local economy. Without local business, there is no Montgomery. As a locally owned business, we at Blue Water work hard every day to support local business.
This is David with Mr. Sandman Mattress. I have been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for over 20 years with great results. Their many station formats help me reach a broad cross-section of the local market and have helped me succeed in the highly competitive mattress business.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. It can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces. Resources, who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
That's where we are. Let's go to the phones. So let's go to Bo. Hey, Bo. Bo knows talk radio.
Yes, sir. Is this the Don Rockwell show?
Always in this studio, it will be.
Hey, wasn't you on with him for a little while?
I was on with him every Monday.
I thought you was.
For almost a year.
Well, you sure were. Anyway, he was one of the pioneers that brought talk radio to Montgomery, Alabama. I don't know if he might have been brought it to the state. What do you think?
I don't know, but he definitely, back during the old WCOV, when they were downtown and everything in that studio, he was the man. He was the man.
Yeah.
And I was scared to death of him as a young kid.
Yeah, hey, do you remember when he did that tradio on the weekend?
I do.
Oh, man, my grandmother turned me on to that. That was awesome.
Yeah, he is a pioneer and a legend.
I wish I could go back to a little of that on Saturdays, do that little of that tradio.
Joey, you want to do that?
Sure.
Anyway, I was calling, you know, they call the alternative alt-right media. You've heard that term.
I've heard that. I think it's a overused and misused phrase.
Okay.
They would consider me alt-right, for example.
Yeah. I'd like to submit a new term for left-wing Republicans, alt-left Republicans. And one of the main ones being Paul Ryan. What I was going to ask you, Dan, is I've read a article where Ryan is going to be on the board of Fox Media. Have you saw that?
I have not seen that.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, he's got him a new gig and all that, but how do you think that could affect the Fox News presentation of the news and what have you?
Well, I tell you something that about Paul Ryan. When you're talking about a fiscal hawk, he is very much in that category. He's very much a bean counter. When he gets down to other policy stuff, it really bored him, and he never really wanted to get involved in it. It was too much of a fight. It wasn't a number. He's just a numbers person. That's why he didn't get too involved in DACA and things like that until he had to. But I'm not sure that he's going to go paint something overly moderate to liberal, if that's what you're concerned about.
Well, I'm just not a big fan. Neither I'm a fan of John McCain. I kind of side with the president on his remarks about McCain as well. And I back him 100%. How about you?
Who, Donald Trump or John McCain?
Uncle John's remarks on McCain.
Oh, Donald's remarks on McCain.
Yeah, I call him Uncle John.
I think he was right. Meghan McCain went a little nuts and took exception to it, but he was peddling a false document, and he didn't do his homework to find out it was false.
Talking about McCain?
Correct.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you think? Let's go back to when Romney was elected, Well, I'm talking about for, what is he in, Senate?
He's in the Senate, correct, from Utah.
Okay. Let's go back to when he was first elected, and I called in and I said, Dan, do you think Romney's going to be another McCain? and you said no, and now he's voting basically against Trump.
Well, there are two different things. One, I think Romney's going to be Romney. I think there are things that Romney doesn't like that Trump does, and he's going to vote against him on that. That's my point.
Yeah. But I think he's going to be another Flake and McCain rolled up into one. But like you said, in the fullness of time, we'll see.
Well, the difference of Flake, for example, is the people of Arizona did not like Jeff Flake. That's why he didn't run again. Jeff Flake was going to get decimated in this election if he would have tried to seek re-election. He would have lost in a primary. And a senator losing in a primary, that's not good. John McCain, a little bit different story. And in a way, Donald Trump helped John McCain get re-elected. But, John McCain, that maverick, that self-inscribed maverick, and some of the things he believed, I just total disagreement with him. Jeff Flake was just terrible. He called himself conservative, and he was not conservative.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. Hey, back to Romney. What state does he reside in now? Is he still in where was he from? Wisconsin or somewhere like that? Massachusetts.
He resides in Utah now.
Okay, so his electorate is all Mormons, basically. So he's going to get that Mormon popular vote out there in Utah.
Of course, that's why he did it.
You know, it's kind of interesting. His isn't it his niece that's in the RNC head chief?
It is.
Yes, and they seem to have different political views.
Well, she supports the president. She said this. She supports the president all the time. Romney supports the president, but not all the time.
And I don't even think she's a Mormon.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't think she is. I think that gives her a little ground to disagree. You know, if she was in the cult, then she'd have to go along with them. But I don't think she's in it. I think she's Methodist or something outside of that.
Don't know the answer to that.
Yes, sir. Hey, thanks for your time, Dan.
Thank you, Bob. News Talk 93.1. Dan Moore Show. We'll be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
Time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees.
From our super secret studio that now has TV cameras and lights in it, it's the Health and Wealth Show. Now, here's your host, the guardian of your greenbacks. It's David Ernest.
Hello, everybody. This is Rusty with Health and Wealth Radio.
Oh, wait a minute, David. You're not Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I know I'm not Rusty.
My bad. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody. This is Rusty with Health and Wealth Radio. We are going to be on television.
On ABC 32.
So tune in or call me at 279-7431 for all your financial needs.
And don't forget the Health and Wealth Radio Show, weeknights at 7 p.m. right here on News Talk 93.1 WACV. And watch for us on TV on ABC 32. David's the pretty one.
Fox
News. I'm Steve Rappaport. Floods in the Midwest damaging hundreds of homes, and the worst isn't over as high waters flow down the Missouri River.
All over the Missouri and Mississippi River basins, you're hearing things like record flooding, levels not seen in 50 years. And what you have is this combination of melting snow and all the rain that we've had here in the center part of the country. And you've got these rivers up over their banks, around 9 million people in jeopardy as a result.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Omaha. Vice President Pence is expected to survey damage there this afternoon. Floods blamed for at least 3 deaths in the region. President Trump saying he will designate Brazil a major non-NATO ally.
Or even possibly, if you start thinking about it, maybe a NATO ally. Have to talk to a lot of people, but maybe a NATO ally, which will greatly advance security and cooperation between our countries.
The president at a joint news conference with his Brazilian counterpart. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Blue Haven Pools. Building and designing an amazing new smart pool is just a click away. Learn more about smart pools that are virtually chemical free by visiting bluehaven.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. I'm happy to say our nice weather pattern will continue for the next several days. For today, cool sunshine, but another mostly sunny day, a high temperature in the middle 60s. Tonight, mostly clear, chilly. We'll go down to 38 by first thing on Wednesday morning. Actually, tomorrow is the first day of spring. Sunshine warmer, high 67. Spring officially starting, 4:58 p.m., the vernal equinox. And how about a full moon on Wednesday night, too? Thursday, high temperature, maybe close to 70. I think we'll be in the low 70s. Friday in the mid-70s, Saturday, a nearly perfect pattern. Meanwhile, though, the pollen count still in the high range right on through the end of the week. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
What's getting in the way of you living your best life, your prime life? Visit Prime South Bank and you'll find the service and tools for you to enjoy a prime life. From free checking to the perks of personal attention, Prime South Bank is ready to serve you in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, Montgomery, and online. Member FDIC.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Dan Morris Show.
I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
272-9228, that's where we are. I'm going to go ahead and send this to you. It's, we may not be able to get to it. It's a Peter Ward, being asked a question. Just got popped up on Twitter. This, Jack the Ripper. This is kind of was intriguing to me because this is the, you know, me and 23 type stuff, DNA testing. And like I said, we just had a case that happened here in Alabama that I think was solved yesterday that dates back to 1999 of two young girls that were killed, murdered, and found dead in a trunk of a car down in South Alabama. But this is Jack the Ripper. This is 180 plus years ago. Let's listen in.
Two British scientists are finally revealing the DNA evidence they say helped solve one of history's biggest crime mysteries, the identity of Jack the Ripper. Back in 1888, the notorious serial killer murdered and mutilated the bodies of five women in London. Vladimir Dudiev, our streaming network, that's CBSN, shows us why an immigrant from Poland is now a leading suspect. Vlad, good morning to you.
Good morning. The savagery of Jack the Ripper's crimes terrorized the residents of London. No one was even charged, although the police have had their suspicions. Now, more than a century later, modern technology may have finally unmasked the elusive killer. Few criminals have captivated the world's imagination like Jack the Ripper.
Altogether a different breed of killer.
This silk shawl is believed to be the last piece of physical evidence left from his killing spree more than 130 years ago. Two biochemists who analyzed it say they detected the DNA of Catherine Eddowes, Jack the Ripper's fourth victim, in apparent bloodstains. They also found a semen stain they believe came from Aaron Kosminski, a 23-year-old Polish barber who at the time was a prime suspect.
Wow.
Wait, so you're telling me that this is a 180-year-old shawl with blood and semen on it?
1888, I was wrong on the 180 years. So this dates back to 1888. So you'd be 132.
Still, it's a 132-year-old shawl with blood and semen on it? Who saved that?
Get that guy Rorschach tested real quick.
Wow.
What do you see? Blood and semen. What do you see now? Blood and semen.
Oh, if it turns out, too, if the shawl is not correctly a good form of evidence, man, you save that for nothing. But it's fascinating with what we can do with DNA
testing. Really is. I mean, they resolved this murder of these two girls. They expected in 1999 here in Alabama.
Yeah.
And by doing the DNA testing, and they did basically the same thing. Let's go to Duke real quick. Hey, Duke, welcome aboard the Damo Show on a Tuesday.
Hey, how are y'all today?
Very good, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing. I wonder what that thing smelled like. I wanted to touch on something.
Good job, Duke.
If you know, it seems like all this stuff, they just dragging it out, waiting for the, you know, for the election of 2020, and it just seems like if Trump loses, let's say he loses, I don't know, but will we ever get to the bottom of it if the Democrats take over the White House?
I tell you something, if this thing dragged out for until November 2020, I think the American population would be furious.
Yeah. I just don't understand. It's been going on and on and on, and I think they're just kind of buying their time is what it looks like to me, but I don't know.
Well, I think one time they were trying to buy it, too, was the Democrats taking over the Congress, but I don't see how they can go much further than where they are right now.
Well, I hope so. All right. Well, I was just thinking. Thank you. It's good to talk to y'all.
Good talking to you, Duke. Duke of Earl. So the second part of the story here.
Researcher David Miller.
I think the fact that there are two signatures which appear to match signatures from descendants increases the confidence that what we're looking at is something which is real.
Miller and his co-author published their data for the first time in a scientific paper last week. They said the semen stain contained fragments of mitochondrial DNA, genetic material children inherit only from their mothers, that match Kosminski's living relatives. Author Russell Edwards, who hired the scientists to conduct the DNA test, originally disclosed the findings in his book, naming Jack the Ripper. He spoke to Sunday Morning in 2015.
We've proved this. You know, all the story absolutely fits like a jigsaw puzzle.
I think they come up with rather convincing evidence.
Dr. Stanley Nelson, a UCLA professor of human genetics, says the DNA case against Kosminski is strong, but not completely ironclad.
They're not identifying a unique person. Actually, it's about 1 in 50 to 1 in 100 individuals in modern England have this mitochondrial type.
Kosminski died in an asylum in 1919. The British biochemists say their original aim was not to learn Jack the Ripper's true identity, but to see how far they could stretch modern scientific techniques to analyze minute DNA samples that were over 100 years old.
Now, I'm curious of what type of asylum he was in.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in an insane asylum? Was he in a TB asylum? That's interesting, though. How would you like to be a descendant of Jack the Ripper?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I don't want that psychopathy, like, in my genes.
You don't want that in your DNA?
No.
You and your DNA? I love that. Interesting story there. Mark Penn, we didn't get to this yesterday. He's going to be talking about Mueller, and he's got some interesting thesis here talking about the Dems and the politics of this whole thing.
Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham blocked a Senate vote on the House measure that called for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's final report to be made public. Let's bring in Mark Penn. He's a former Clinton advisor and pollster. He's also managing partner at the Stagwell Group. Mark, your reaction to Lindsey Graham blocking this most recent procedural vote. What's going on in Congress these days?
Well, first of all, not much is going on in Congress these days, as there's a lot more show votes than there are real votes on the matters that people want done. But I think Senator Graham here was really saying saying, yeah, I want the Mueller report to be transparent, but I also want a second independent counsel to be appointed to investigate what was going on with the FBI and the DOJ during all of these investigations. And I think that's the point he's making. There's obviously going to be and have to be significant transparency about what Mueller did, but likely there already is significant transparency since Mueller has brought the cases that he's going to bring.
Okay, so now he's going to be talking about the fact that in Lindsey Graham, he agrees with Lindsey Graham on a special counsel, and we've got to do that so we can have faith in the FBI and their investigative process.
And we've talked about this for a year and a half, Mark. You've written about this a lot. We're not expecting collusion in the Mueller report. The Mueller report should be out in the next 2 weeks. What are you expecting, and what is your reaction to what you heard from Congressman Doug Collins earlier and Congressman Ruda?
Well, look, what am I expecting? I'm expecting a report that dwells significantly on what the president did relative to the obstruction of justice. I don't see obstruction of justice here, but I think the report could dwell on that. And then on collusion, I think ultimately the report has brought not a single case related to that in any clear manner. So how could the report itself actually focus on that or find it? It can't. Nothing was brought. So I think we know the conclusion, and we know also increasingly as these transcripts come out that the underlying foundation for this investigation never really existed, that the Steele dossier was never verified and never should have been the basis for this, and the firing of Comey that triggered the independent counsel also had no basis in fact or law to create an independent counsel.
Yeah, so the special counsel should never have been there in the first place, and we know how they handled the Hillary Clinton investigation. Jim Baker apparently testified that he wanted to charge her with gross negligence, but the DOJ said no. Your reaction to these directives coming from Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama's DOJ?
Well, the Lisa Page transcript really is quite stunning, because what Lisa Page is saying is that the Justice Department, before the investigation was really done, said that they were not going to prosecute. Therefore, the fact that Comey then says no one knows the conclusion, right, is a lie. It's a laughing matter, because of course he knew the conclusion. The conclusion had been dictated before the investigation began.
Yeah.
This is really significant testimony from Lisa Page. I don't understand why the Inspector General didn't understand this.
Without accountability, nobody is going to trust the DOJ and the FBI for a long time.
And the reason, the answer to that is that the Lisa Page testimony before Congress in closed door session came after the IG report was sent out. That's the reason for that. I can tell you that this thing, stuff is starting to really, really, really line up here. Okay, for a little fun, Elizabeth Warren, this is going to be stop and go, Joey. She was down in Mississippi, and it's amazing, you know, what she's saying to this audience here. And she got a lot of applause. I had to cut some of the applause because some of it was so long. It's in kind of a weird venue. I couldn't figure out where she was unless she was somewhere on a campus in Jackson, Mississippi. But this is pretty bold for her to be doing some of this in Mississippi. Listen in.
Voter disenfranchisement is real.
Mm-hmm.
In Mississippi, there are 23 felonies that once convicted ban a person from voting for the rest of their lives, literally limiting their citizenship and right to democracy. Mm-hmm. Moreover, residents' access to voting is limited by archaic voter registration processes and limited voting formats. How will you expand voting rights to the formerly incarcerated, ensure online voter registration, and non-excuse early voting?
All right. Great question. But can I go you one bigger?
Yeah.
And that is, I believe we need a constitutional amendment that protects the right to vote for every American citizen and to make sure that vote gets counted. Put some federal muscle behind that. And we need to repeal every one of the voter suppression laws that is out there right now. And I'll tell you one more. We need to make sure that every vote counts. And I want to push that right here in Mississippi, because I think this is an important point. You know, come a general election, presidential candidates don't come to places like Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They also don't come to places like California and Massachusetts, right? Because we're not the battleground states. Well, my view is that every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and everybody.
I want to,
I think everybody ought to have to come and ask for your vote. What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. Man, talk about this amassing of changes. You know, they're also talking about packing the Supreme Court with 15.
Also, but I would be like, even if you got rid of the Electoral College, Elizabeth, they still aren't going to campaign in Mississippi, you dope. There's not that many votes there.
Yeah.
Compared to, say, California or New York State.
Exactly. It costs too much to go there to get nothing back. And you can do it cheaper through advertising. So it doesn't. And this notion that, well, people are not campaigning in Mississippi is just wrong. Because you have the top-down ballot pressure that you always want to apply. So they're finding states like Alabama and Mississippi, and even though it's going to be a lock for Donald Trump, they're trying to get the downward mobility and the pressure on that. The perfect example will be Doug Jones.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump doesn't make a couple of visits to Alabama because of that race. Particularly if it's the right person that's there, which I think it will be looking at some recent polling data. Okay, so let's continue on here with Elizabeth Warren. Let's listen in.
I want to bring in Hannah Burnell Williams from here in Jackson. She's hoping to go to graduate school. Hannah.
Hi, Senator Warren.
Hi, Hannah.
Recently, many leaders in our nation have taken a stance on whether or not Confederate symbols should remain in the public eye in many of our cities, towns, and parks. As a presidential hopeful, do you have any plans on addressing the removal or lack thereof of the reminders of this nation's dark past, or have any plans on preserving the nation's history in a way that explains it in a more educational sense versus showing praise to the losing side?
All right. You put it right. So I would support removing Confederate celebrations from federal lands and putting them in museums where they belong.
So, no, she said celebration. So, in other words, the Battle of Antietam isn't going to be taken down or anything like that. I tell you what, Elizabeth Warren, who is rocking around 6% in the polls, you still have two white guys. Old white guys are at the top of the ballot. Kamala Harris is kind of way down third, with Beto O'Rourke right behind her at, I think, 7, and I think she's 8, if I remember from what I saw this morning. Somebody's going to have to bust out of this thing. And the more I went back and looked at that film of Joe Biden, the more that was definitely a planned thing that he did with that little slip he had. News Talk 93.1. Dan Moore Show, we'll be back right after this.
When you don't believe a word I say.
The Dan Moore Show.
We can't go on together with suspicious minds. And we can't build our dreams on suspicious minds.
The biggest and best broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Hey, Randy, tell me about those hot chicks I've been hearing about.
Now, Tammy, I don't know any since we got married.
No, Randy, the baby chicks.
Oh, yeah, we're getting Rhode Island Reds, Americanas, Buff Orpingtons, and about 6 other different varieties.
Plus ducks, turkeys, geese, and guineas.
Hey, and raising chickens is a great family project.
And you get to look forward to fresh eggs.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and pick up your hot chicks today.
Steve Miller Band is coming to the Montgomery Performing Arts Center, and News Talk 93.1 wants you to win tickets before they're gone.
Go on, take the money and run.
Tune in to the Three Men and a Lady Morning Show with Greg, Jay, Emily, and Rich all week long to win pairs of tickets to see Steve Miller Band at the Impact on March 21st.
Some people call me the Space Cowboy. Yeah.
Tickets to see Steve Miller Band at the Montgomery Performing Arts Center, March 21st, from News Talk 93.1. The River Region's 24-hour News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. The Dan Morris Show.
Folks, y'all heard that great call that Mr. Electro got yesterday. I need to send that to Dan Black, by the way. You know, a listener raving about Mr. Electric and the fact that they came in and they were cheaper than the other estimate that they gotten. They were super polite. They cleaned up afterwards. They did it in 2 hours and did a great job. I'm hearing that type of things all of the time. Now, here's another thing that you can look at, and that's getting a backup generator for your home when bad weather is coming around, and it's always coming around, whether it's tornadoes, whether it's storms, whether it's hurricane, whatever it is. Check out a backup generator, and here's how you do it. You're going to call Mr. Electric. Danielle's going to answer the telephone. They have $250 off right now if you're a Dan Morris Show listener, and you tell them that. So get ready to copy this cell phone number. It's going to be very important to you because you may need it because they have 24-hour a day, 7-day a week emergency service. So get ready to copy. Put this in your phone. Do that for me, please. 334-269-8886. 269-8886. Mr. Electric, my good friend, Dan Black. Okay, here, let's do the March Madness Democrat political. This guy was kind of, they've been doing this on Fox. I didn't get to the one yesterday because it was Brian Kilmeade, and he just didn't. When he's out in a group of people trying to talk, it's even more confusing than when he's in a studio trying to talk. So let's listen in and talk about the Dems in the political final four here.
Beto O'Rourke raised $6.1 million in the first 24 hours of his presidential bid, and he beat out his competition when it came to first day fundraising, including Bernie, who's now fundraising off that. But can he beat them at the polls? This week, we are stacking up the candidates bracket style, just like college basketball teams, because it is March and we're having some madness. Former Trump campaign pollster Jim McLaughlin is back with the matchup. Got between Biden and Gillibrand, who do you like?
Yeah, Biden basically got the bye in the first round, but I think in this, he's like one of the blue bloods. For you, he's like Kansas. He's like North Carolina. He's going to muscle it out over Kirsten Gillibrand, who really, she had to re-announce because she kind of struggled in her original announcement.
Absolutely.
For president.
Between Beto O'Rourke and Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren got off on a really bad foot, but then again, so did Beto O'Rourke, aside from the fact that he was able to raise $6 million in the first day.
You know, and one of the interesting things is the media, they always try to pretend they care about issues, but they pay attention to a lot of process. The fact that he raised $6 million, that's a big deal for him. The other thing
is... $6
million. Yep, $6 million. By the way, I think she missed her time. I think Elizabeth Warren's time was last time when she was running against Hillary and Bernie Sanders. So I give him... He's a little bit like Obama in terms of appealing to progressives. I give Beto O'Rourke the advantage.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Red Top. Red Top, how are you enjoying this wonderful day as you talk to two guys who are up in an attic?
I tell you, you poor old closet souls, it is just unbelievable.
I'm gonna be walking around in it in 6 minutes.
You're going to love it. It's the best time of day.
I know.
I saw the interview with Beto, I guess it's Gail King.
Yeah, we had that a couple of days ago. We just didn't get to it.
Yeah, I saw it last night. I was very disappointed. First of all, he seems like a doofus.
Okay.
Look at the look on his face. He's a damn doofus, guys.
Well, and we had a clip. We're not going to be able to get to it today because of the calls, but we had a clip of Beto being, you know, asked, when are you going to do something policy-wise? And so he tries to lay out the policy, but he messes it up.
He's too stupid. He's a doofus.
Yeah. He's a pretty face. Let's put it that way.
He's not even a pretty face. He just looks stupid to me. And, and you know, he's really a slob. He's a slob. Look how poorly dressed he was. That blue shirt was so wrinkled, untucked. You think Donald Trump would ever stand in front of a camera in anything but a $1,000 suit? So this man is, he's way out. And then the stuff he was saying about him and his family and his wife, and me and my wife talking about it, my wife decided, well, hell, we don't need a man with no gonads in the White House, is all I got to say.
Well, and that's another thing. We pointed that out yesterday. Now, we may have to go back and get those clips that we had before on Friday. Not today, but use them tomorrow. He keeps apologizing. He keeps saying, I'm sorry for this and I'm sorry for that.
Yeah, because he's too stupid to say the right thing.
Well, you're not going to be. It's a big difference running for U.S. Senate and in this kind of come along with me type, you know, way of campaigning. He's got to come up with some actual policy, and until he does that, he's going to be a pretty face. But it ain't going to go any further than that. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to break 10 points in the poll between now and say. I don't know. I guess he could do it by 4th of July. He better do it by 4th of July. Let's put it that way.
Let's face it. His father-in-law just wants to get him out of the house.
Well,
thank you, guys. Roll Tide, go Trump.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate you. Let's go to the phones and go to Ken. Ken, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. How are you today?
I'm well, Dan. Thanks.
When are you heading down to the beach for the first of the season?
No, not in a couple of weeks, anyhow. Three or four, I guess.
Do you try to avoid spring break down there?
No.
Oh, okay.
We don't purposely go on spring break, but it doesn't make that much difference to us, thank goodness, in our area. But it makes a difference for traffic, obviously, as do the other holidays, the observed holidays.
Yep. What's on your mind?
Number one, you sound like you're beating the weather and not completely under it now with the pollen and the upper respiratory.
I tell you what I'm doing is that I learned this at MD Anderson. I'm doing neti pot, and I just make sure I take a good, warm, hot shower in the morning and really clear out my sinuses, and I'm ready to go. And I'm telling you, it's off the charts, the pollen is. I have to look at it because of my throat.
Yeah. I
and drink plenty of scotch. That's the other thing.
There you go. Keep it diluted. Senator Warren needs to be reminded, and we all need to remind ourselves, we don't live in a democracy. We don't vote as a democracy. If you want to do that, you can't go back to the Indian tribes. You got to go back to Greece a few centuries ago. They gave it a good try. But I would bet that whatever tribe she was not truly a member, her ancestors were not members of, they never let everybody vote. The warriors and the guys on the council and the ones that were entitled to smoke the pipe, which I think Beto's done too much of. But man, he can skateboard. He's a good skateboarder. And so as far as the Electoral College is concerned, we wouldn't be ourselves. We wouldn't be our representative republic.
Exactly right.
You-